The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I want to start the sermon today by asking a question. Why is it that at times we as the people of God are not experiencing the abundant life, the real peace of mind, the joy and the fulfillment that Jesus Christ said would be the fruit of living God's way of life? Why is it that at times that isn't true in our lives? We also understand that there is a cause for every effect. And with that in mind, please go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So if the opening question that I ask is true in our lives, why is it that at times we are not experiencing the abundant life, the peace of mind, and the joy and the fulfillment that Jesus Christ said would be the fruit of living a godly way of life? If sometimes that is not true, then what is the cause for the effect that many members experience? What is it? What is that cause and effect? Please go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, we read, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, and like I've told you many times in other sermons, I love it in Scripture when somebody asks Jesus a question and then he answers it, because then we know the answer. We know what he thinks, and that's the right answer. And he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." I think most of us, just from what we are seeing so far in this sermon, I think most of us could probably come to the conclusion that the most important part of God's way of life is to put God first. "You shall seek the Lord your God." But do we really believe this is true? And another question is it really true in our lives? Brother, I think what happens in most cases, we unknowingly violate or break this principle that God is first. This is the first and great commandment. Oh, it's so easy to let God slip from first place in our lives, isn't it? We may claim that we are putting God first, but all too often, we're really only kidding ourselves. Jesus said this was the first and great commandment because on it hinges spiritual growth. Upon this principle hinges abundant life. Upon this hinges the ability to inspire and to serve others. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And for most of you, I know in telling you to go to Matthew 6, 33, I could tell you to simply write the verse out, and you probably could. Many of you could do that. "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, in this, and I'm not trying to diagram the sentence for you that we do in English and all of this kind of thing, but I do want to point out here that this word "seek," whether it be in the Greek or whether it be in the Hebrew or whether it be in the English, "seek" is present continuous tense. It's a continuation. It is an ongoing. It is ever present, is what the word by association from a English point of view, that's what it is getting across. It doesn't say, seek it today and then tomorrow you don't have to. No, it is a continuous process that we are to be seeking first God. Seek, this word, comes from, in the Hebrew, a word that means worship. And then in the Greek, it means to be about. It means desire, endeavor, inquire, and to ascertain. It means ascertain by inquiry, in other words, as a matter of information. And when we look back in the sense that I've already made the comment and said that it is in the present continuous tense, then we understand this is something that we're to be seeking, we're to be doing all the time. This is to be at what place in our lives? First. The word first here means place. If it was in a number, it would be one. By the usage of this word, it would mean one. As if there is a one, and then there's a two, and then there's a three. It means one. And what do you always put one? The most important thing. And that's what it is implying. That's what it is stating. It means first as in time. It means order. It means importance. It means before. As if there are other things, seek first. Seek God before anything else. It would be that kind of thinking. It is that kind of philosophy that is looked at here. It means at the beginning, or it means chiefly. So, brethren, that's the children of God. We have knowledge of our Father in heaven. And we should be absolutely certain with knowing that He is going to provide all of our needs. That's in that context. That's in this context here that we're reading here. And He says, don't have any anxious thought. Don't worry about those things. I'm telling you, seek you first the kingdom of God. That's what He's telling us in the context. I could read all of it, but I think most of you are familiar with it. So as a result of it, what He is telling us, therefore, we are not to be anxious. And I know, sometimes we come to the conclusion and we say, but I have to get these things done first, or we may not have a blank, and you fill in the blank for your life. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is saying, don't do. Don't do that. Whatever is going to be first in our lives as Christians is very plain from the words of Jesus Christ. He's already told us the number. Number one is God first and everything else second. Here, what Jesus is stating to us is to put God first. In other words, to put first things first. There is a right order, and the order is you put the first things first, and He's already told us what it is. And that's God. So in other words, we are to seek first His kingdom. We are to seek first to be righteous. We are to seek first to become interested in what pleases God. We are to seek first to receive His favor. And all these other things, all these necessary things will be added to us. Those are the words of our Lord and our Savior. That's what He said. As we all should realize, God has control over all things. And yet we worry. And yet there are times we find ourselves putting other things first. Still with the knowing that God has control over all things, and we also know, as the people of God, that He can give us what it is that we need. And He will. And He will. He will give us what He deems that is best for us at the right time for us. And simply stated to us as a result of the knowledge of that, He says, seek Him first. Put it in another way, God demands first place. God demands first place in our lives, just as He also demands the first tithes of our increase. He tells us where to do it. It's not a suggestion. It's a, this is what you do. You give of your money, of the increase, you give what is first, the first part of it, the first tenth of it, you give it to God. That's what He said. It's just as that is there. This is also there. He commanded Israel. We're not going to turn back and take a look at it. If you're not aware of this, you can look back and see it. But God commanded Israel to offer up the first city as a burnt offering, Jericho. It was the first city that they entered into. He told them to offer it up. He also requires the first fruit of every tree and the firstborn of every domestic animal. You see, God wants to be first in our lives. And He tells us so many different areas in our lives so we will get the principle that God is to be first. This is the purpose. Does God really care in one sense of the order of, you know, you have a paycheck, you got some increase, you know, your money, that the first one goes to Him? Does it make any difference to God that He's God or not God? Of course not. But it's to show us this principle that He is to be first. That's the reason. We don't hem-haw. We don't have to worry. We don't have to, well, can I do this or can I do this? No, first is you give what is God to Him first, and then you don't have to worry. You're doing what God has said to do. He wants to remove from us any doubt or worry or any of those kinds of things. Are we doing the things that please Him? By simply says, do these things, do it first to God. God demands priority, and God demands that He come first for our own good. It's for our good. So how can we be sure that we are putting God first in our lives? Well, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin this search here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. This is Apostle Paul speaking, but he's saying, and I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon, how he builds on that foundation. Drop down to verse 13. Every man's work shall be made known, shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it going to stand? Yes or no? Paul compares our lives to a building. Now, in other places, he compares our lives to a lot of different things. But in this context, he compares our life to a building. And this is a real good thing to think about here. To build a perfect building, our lives, it is necessary to build gradually one block or one brick at a time. I had an opportunity one summer to work with some bricklayers down in New Orleans, Louisiana. I went to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the temperature at that time was 90, and humidity was like 95%, and it wasn't raining. And then we would go to work and work with these bricklayers and building houses. I didn't lay them. I was the laborer. I was the gopher. But I learned about building buildings, and it was an awesome thing to think about. And I know from working with these two men who were contractors in the Church of God, their attitudes toward their men and their attitude toward their work and all of this was right out of this. They wanted to build a perfect building, and they knew exactly how to do it, and they made sure everything was exactly right. They would check the mortar mixer. They would do all of these things, and I was on training for the first month or so that I was working with these guys, you know, because they wanted it exactly right. And that's exactly what God is telling us here. And as Paul is using us, our lives as a building, he wants our lives to be a perfect building. We are to lay each brick accordingly. Or the finished building is not going to be perfect. And seeing these guys, they always knew when they started which block went first. And they always did the same thing. And I would ask them, because I learned very quickly from these guys, and I says, now, why do you always do that? And they went, because you have to lay the first block first. And I'm thinking, yeah, but where does it always have to be there? They knew right where to lay it. And that's what he's telling us. It's not going to be a perfect building in our lives unless we lay the right block at the right time first. First things first. So today what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to take a look at a couple of things to start our process in seeking God first. There are others. There are others. But the couple of things that we're going to look at here today is a starting point. Life is time. And the building blocks of time consist of days. To build a perfect life, we must make it, we must build it one day at a time, carefully. Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. You ever wondered about that? Do you ever wonder why Jesus said when we prayed that we are to ask God to give us our supply of food for the month? Day by day. Day by day. Because life is time, and the building blocks of life consist of days. To God, the basic unit of time is the day. Brian, please understand, not even creation, going back to the days of creation, the beginning of it, all physical creation that we have, that we experience, that we're part of, not even creation itself divides time into smaller units other than daylight and darkness, which vary from season to season. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. We see this principle over and over and over. The final quality of the building that we are constructing, obviously in partnership with God. Of course, He's the chief partner, He's the owner, and He's the boss. He's the one that tells us the right way to do it and all of this. But it depends a great deal upon how we use each day and how each day is lived and how it is glued into place. Just like those contractors knew exactly what the mixture was to be like. Not too much, not too little, exact amount of sand and rock and mortar mixture and all of these things for it to be exactly what they wanted. And that's exactly what God does. One of the most important parts of the day is the preparation for that day. And I'm going to tell you right up front, most of us don't even really, we understand the words, but we really don't think about it, I don't think, a lot in this way. And I want us to think about it, because I'm telling you, this is where it actually begins. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1 and verse 5. Genesis 1 and verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then other verses, we're not going to read them, but it's still in just in chapter 1. Verse 8, day 2, day 3, verse 13, day 4, verse 19, day 5, verse 23, and day 6, verse 31. Here's the point. God begins His day, what we would call the previous evening. Most of us begin our day in the morning, and we use the following nighttime period to recover from the toil and the labor and the work that we did of that day. We understand God did not say the morning and the evening. He said, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning, and this is what he says in every one of these verses. And he went through every one of them and says, and it is good, and it is good. He didn't say, I made a mistake, it's backwards, it's wrong. He said, it's good. The nighttime, the darkness I'm referring to, the nighttime at the beginning of each day is intended as preparation time for the day, or we would call it the daytime portion of the day that follows. In other words, tonight is dark, and tomorrow morning is daylight. According to God, what happens tonight belongs to in the morning. It's part of that day. Now, this is, I mean, you go, well, yeah, we understand this. It's not how we live. But it's a principle, and it's a very important key. And what are we looking at? How to put into effect in our lives seeking God first. So a key to putting God first in our lives depends on how we use the beginning of the day. This nightly preparation is to get us in gear for the daylight hours that follows. And it really does play a very important part in seeking God first. Now, we need to understand the important spiritual preparation for the day. Men of God got up early. Men of God got up early to study God's Word and to have a meaningful contact with God through prayer. Let's go to the book of Psalm 119, Psalm 119. And in that chapter, we could read many of the verses. I'm going to read a couple of them, one of them here and one at another time. But in Psalm 119, verse 147, it says, David speaking, writing here, he says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I will put my hope in your word. That's the New International Version. It's very plain, it's real straightforward. But what he's saying is prayer and study. Moffat, on that same, has the phrase, I am up before the dawn to pray. So, brethren, if God is not first day by day in our lives, even in our prayer and our Bible study lives, why should we assume that He will be first in the final outcome? God wants the first part of our day, not the leftovers. And there is some real good research. I'm not giving you the references. You can look it up yourself, or we can even talk, you know, at another time or whatever. But there's some real good research that shows for most people, I'm not saying every person, but for most people, it is difficult to study and pray really effectively in the evenings as a continual way of life. I didn't say on a short time thing. I didn't say once in a while or occasionally, but a continuous way of life. The research shows that what happens is there's too many people. Because it's not the best time. That's the point that they're getting at, and this is, I'm summarizing it. but it's the best time. It's not the best time for the retention of the knowledge and the understanding of what you're really reading. I know we could probably go around in the room and say, if you study late at night before you go to bed, what happens? And a lot of times people will say, I don't remember anything. Well, what did you just tell yourself? You're doing it at the wrong time. I mean, you know, that's real simple, right? That's just at the wrong time, for you at least. So from the study, I would surmise that it is best to study when you are most alert. And research shows that most people are alert in the morning or earlier in the afternoon. Now, a lot of people are not able to do it in early afternoon because of a lot of reasons, you know, because they're in school or they're still at work or whatever else it is that would consume that part of the day that is normal part of our culture and our society, which is not wrong. So my recommendation, and I do have some in this sermon, and that would be to experiment with different times to see which time works best for you. And I would dare say that it's probably going to be for most people, as the research shows, it's the morning. Yes, but research shows that it's the morning. Men of God got up early. You should be alert enough to focus on the words and to remember what it is that you have learned. You should be learning. And our study should be learning. It shouldn't be reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is good. You get a lot of information from reading, but reading and studying is not necessarily the same thing. And I'm talking here about really studying the Word of God so that we can be what? Seeking God first. I also believe, this is me personally, I do believe that many members in the Church of God suffer spiritually simply because they lack sufficient sleep. So in other words, get rest and sleep as you need for you, for your body. Psalm 5, verse 3. David again speaking, and he says, my voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you, and I will look up. We know David was a man after God's own heart who determined to put God first day by day. Did he make mistakes? Of course he did. He was a man. He sinned. He repented. God forgave him. But his attitude and his heart was as one of he sought God first day by day. He realized something that too many people today do not understand. He realized that God wanted the prime time of his life. He wanted the prime time for his good. And that's what God wants from our life. He wants the prime time. I mean prime from the point of view of the best. That's how I'm using that word. We could also be using the word first. I have another question. Are too many of us offering God the half-awake evening hours when we get home from work, obviously drained of energy as the regular habit, as a pattern in our lives? Or maybe even, I want to use the word and term, worse, we're so wiped out that we don't even do that. We don't even give that to God. Well, I want you to go with me to the book of Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Those of you familiar with Malachi, you already know where I'm going and what it's going to say. And I understand this could be, you know, some could take this as being really hard-hitting. It is. It's intended out of love for all of us, but it is also hard-hitting because God said, seek first, and I think that's what he means, and that's what I want us to do. I want all of us to do that. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. In other words, he's saying a son honors his father and a servant honors his master. If I then be your father, where is my honor? And if I be your master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? This was written to the ministry, to use the word priest, to use the term ministry. Well, if he's talking to the ministry, don't you think he's also, the implications is there for all of us? And the answer is, yes, it's for all of us to learn from this. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? Verse 7, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say. Do you see this is a two-sided conversation? It's what's happening here. This is God is speaking and a priest are answering. Now, God is speaking both sides, but he's filling it in as if, well, this is what I say and this is how you answer me. Wherein have we polluted you? And in that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. What? Verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person? Says the Lord of hosts. So the question is, what are we offering to God? Are we offering the blind and the lame and the sick to our Father? Verse 6, we read, it says, a son honors his father and a servant honors his master. So how are we honoring our Father? Are we seeking him first? And I have in my notes, yes or no. Because there are some subjects, it comes down to it, there isn't a gray. The when you do it is one thing, maybe a gray area in that sense. Obviously, I'm talking early in the morning for a lot of different reasons, and I'm going to even have a little bit more about that. Because of the research, and I think it's better, and I think it gets our day going, and all of those things. But whatever is best, that's what I'm referring to. Are we doing that? What are we giving to God? Are we honoring God? Yes or no? We understand that God desires that we have a meaningful prayer life. He wants us to come into His presence and offer up prayers to Him. And by examples, we find in His Word, He shows that He wants the prime time. He wants the best time, the first time. That's the principle. It's there. It's over and over. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 22 now. Leviticus chapter 22. Verse 18. Leviticus 22 and verse 18. Speaking to Aaron and to his sons, obviously I know this is to the priesthood, this is to the ministry, but you see what they are told. And unto all the people of all the children of Israel. Oh, it's not just to the ministry here, it's to everyone. And say unto them, whatsoever he be that of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his obligation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offerings, you shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, of the goats, and whatsoever has a blemish, that shall you not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. In other words, God isn't going to accept it. We can offer it. God's not going to accept it. So what he said, you can go through the motion, do all the things, but if it's not, he doesn't accept it. And whosoever offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to accomplish his vow or a freewill offering in bees or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. You remember back over there talking about with the building and he wants to be a perfect building and is block by block by block by block in a right order in the right place at the exact time? There should be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wind or scurvy or scabbed, you shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Our awesome God, our awesome Father says, whatsoever, whosoever has a blemish, you shall not offer. I also realize very, very much, I also understand that some might think this is being taken out of context. However, I'm going to tell you how I think it applies. The principle is there. I believe the principle is correct. Because God desires to be first in our lives. If we're giving Him the leftovers, is that blind or maimed or whatever else those terms that are there? It's a question. I think that's the principle. He wants the prime or the chief time also. That's what He wants. Seek you thirdly or fourthly, or at least seek Him sometime during the day. Is that what He says? Seek you first. David knew when the prime time was, and he used it to study God's word and to pray. And you know what else? So did Jesus Christ. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. In other words, before the day portion is what he's referring to. He, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there checked his emails. Read it on his day planner what he was going to do that day. And there prayed. Jesus obviously sought God first day by day. He placed God first in his lives. He understood the principle, he lived by the principle, and he taught his disciples, us modern day disciples of Jesus Christ. Seek you first, and that was real in his life. And it is to be real in our lives. So here what I'd like to do now is I'd like to offer what I would consider to be a practical solution. I understand every person needs to adjust it to where it fits to them. And so I'm not putting this as this is what everybody will do. That's not what I'm implying at all. But I think after we've seen what we've seen, I think you'll see how this would work. And I think it's something that we need to think about, at least for most of us. Decide what time you need to get to work each morning, or what time it is you need to start your day, whatever your day is, whatever you know when you need to do that. Count back, and I've estimated, count back 2 hours. You adjust to whatever best works for you and your family, and this is the time when you get up. Count back some 7 to 8 hours or so, and this is when you go to bed. Wait a minute, if I do that, I may miss. Are you seeking that program or are you seeking God first? It's a question. It's a question. Please do not allow Satan and his world to keep on forcing us into the nighttime mold to prevent us from giving God the first part of our day. And I think there's too many people who do that. Let's go back to Psalm 119. I told you what I have. We'll come back to that at another time. Psalm 119 in verse 18. Open you my eyes. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. He's obviously talking about Bible study. Show me. Open my eyes. But putting it into the context of when he says, getting up early in the morning, early I will cry to you. This is obviously, this is early. Open my eyes. And obviously, it's mean is at any time we would pray, we would ask God to open our eyes to understand what the principles are. But it also can be applied here to time of day. Because that's what David said in Psalm 119. And that's where we are. We need to ask God to give us an understanding mind before we study His Word. Now, I do understand that some people like to study before they pray while others do the reverse in their lives. I don't know that there is a right order. I just know that both of them are principles of seeking God first. That's what I do understand. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Or as his manner was, or his custom was. Psalm 55 and verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he, God, and he shall hear my voice. So what we see here is adding on to what we've already been talking about. What we see here is that David and Daniel, both men of God, prayed 3 times a day. But they started it off in the early morning. They got up early. This is what David says. Daniel, even risking his life to maintain a pattern of prayer, really stands out in that sense. Now, David was not so much in jeopardy of his life because he prayed. He was the king, where Daniel was the slave. And he was risking his life. I doubt most of us are in risk of life by praying and asking God to open our minds so that we can understand what it is that He would want us to receive in our prayer and our study and Bible study that day. What we obviously see is this was one of the habits and practices that enabled God to work through both of these men, David and Daniel, to use them both as effective instruments to lead the people of God. I think it's pretty clear that we can see in the pages of the Bible that the great men of God have always kept a meaningful contact with God by putting Him first in their lives. Did they make mistakes? Of course. That was their heart desire, was to have God and to keep God first in their lives. And one way they did that was by giving God the first part of the day to work with their minds through Bible study and prayer. Is this all there is to this topic of seeking God first? Of course not. Of course not. I stated at the beginning it's not going to be all. However, I do believe that without a doubt, and I really believe this, this is a very powerful place to start as we seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And now the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall place my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.